here this morning. We love you, and this transition of mine at Redeemer Church allows me to come and be with you today, a church that we love and pray for often, and so it's good to see you face to face. The Furmans, our whole family, was with you, or at least with this church on day one, October 4th, 2013. I think it was the Clifton Hotel, right there on the main strip in Fujairah. We've joined you several times at the tennis center, the tennis club. Don't know the official name, over at New Testament Church as well. And it's great to be with you here in your new meeting facility, where I guess you've gathered the past couple months. It's great to be with you, great to see you, great to see this place. You, as a church, are led by wonderful men, wonderful elders, Pastor Ben and Pastor Jesse. You're in good hands. I'm so thankful for them. You're led by men who love to preach the Word of God. So it's great that you've been walking through 1 John over these past few months. I trust that that has been an encouragement for you and a feast for your soul. Well, today, what I want to do is what Pastor Jesse mentioned, and look at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. So if you have a Bible, we'll be looking at chapter 16 of Romans. It's also in your bulletins. I'll be looking at the English Standard Version. I realize you often look at the CSB, which is wonderful. I think the ESV is in the bulletin. Yes. So the names are the same in both versions, and there is a lot of them. But you can follow along in your bulletins with the ESV. Now, I think for believers who've studied Romans over the years, if you are a believer and have been a believer for some time, you've likely read Romans. It's one of the more famous books of the Bible. It's filled with wonderful, earth-shaking theology written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by God. But sometimes Romans 16 is kind of left out of the shuffle a bit. We might end our study prematurely at the end of 15, because as we turn to 16, just like we read from Nehemiah, there's a long list of names, a lot of names, in fact. Well, if so, if we end our study at 15, it would be a great mistake, as these words in chapter 16 have a lot to tell us about the church and a lot to tell us about God. Now, the context for this letter, Paul is headed to Spain for ministry, a place he's never been, but he's planning an intentional layover in Rome. We're used to layovers in the UAE. It's a popular layover destination between going to one country and going to another. Paul's planning on an intentional layover in Rome. He wants to stop there and meet this church he's never met before he heads off to Spain. In between, he's bringing relief to the saints in Jerusalem before Rome. Well, he's never visited Rome. He writes this letter to Rome ahead of his visit, letting them know of his hopes and desire to partner with them in ministry. He wants their help in sending him to Spain. The first 11 chapters of Romans, if you would read those, you might even just read through Romans later on this afternoon or this week. You can read the whole book in about an hour. In the first 11 chapters, Paul reveals how Christ welcomes us into God's family through his death and resurrection. And because of that welcome, because of what Christ has done for us on the cross and in rising from the dead, because of that welcome to us, we are therefore, we see in chapters 12 through 15, we are therefore to welcome others to the body of Christ. Believers can live together as family and extend that welcome to others. And we see that in those next few chapters. Now, chapter 16 is Paul's conclusion to the letter. And in it, he shows us that ministry really is a partnership in the gospel. And so today's main point, I have one main point. It's a simple main point. I hope it sticks with you. I hope you remember it. I hope it's so easy to memorize. It's simple, and yet it's revolutionary in terms of living it out. So here's the main point of the sermon that everything falls under today. Here it is. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. It takes the whole church, every one of us to advance the kingdom of God in this world. So that's the hope that we're hanging everything on today. It's what we've seen in Emmanuel Church of Fujairah, and it's what we've seen in Redeemer Church of Dubai over the years. It's what we see in our text today, that the mission of God is a community project. Now, Paul was an incredible leader. Sometimes we might think of the Apostle Paul as such a great leader that he stands head and shoulders above the rest, perhaps even intimidating. But reading about his many close relationships here in Romans 16 always encourages me. While gritty and determined, Paul was also gentle, kind-hearted. He was a loving man. He not only shared the gospel with people, but he shared his very life with others. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 2. He writes, "We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Paul, in Romans 16, writes a long list of names, yet he's never been to Rome. Apparently, Paul met many of these individuals on his various journeys. They later moved to Rome. Now, lest we think these names are just filler or unimportant to the book, listen to what early church preacher Chrysostom said about Romans 16. I'm paraphrasing here. He says, "Many who have the appearance of good men look at this part of Romans as merely something extra and unneeded. But the right people understand that we should be careful even about the seemingly mundane sections. It's possible even from bare names to find great treasure." Another has said of Romans 16 that it is one of the most instructive chapters in the New Testament because it encourages personal relationships of love in the church. Well, let's jump in. Verse 1. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea." Now, Cenchrea was Corinth's eastern port. And the first person that Paul names in his list of names is Phoebe. She's a woman. And the word for servant here is the same as diakonos, which is translated as deacon. For those that believe in female deacons, this verse is one of the arguments made for that. But that's not the main point here. The point here, though, is that Paul is commending her as a servant of the church and as a sister in Christ. She, too, is headed to Rome. And Paul's asking the church at Rome to welcome her. He's connecting her to the believing community there. Well, Phoebe might have actually even been carrying this letter from Paul to the Romans. Well, verse 2, Paul says that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. One way Phoebe served the church was with her wealth. A patron is one who provides for others. Paul says Phoebe has been a patron, not just of one person or two, but of many. This was her normal posture towards others. And she's even partnered with Paul financially. Oh, fellow Christian, what an example for all of us. Some of us go, but all of us can give. Some of us go on mission, but all of us can give towards mission. Some more than others, but all of us can be generous. It takes goers and senders to spread the gospel. Gospel goers need gospel patrons. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Paul's missionary journeys were a community effort. A woman named Phoebe made it possible for Paul to plant churches throughout Asia. Now, the same is true for us here in the Arabian Gulf. Several individuals and churches around the world have helped Emmanuel Church of Fujairah get started and be sustained. And same thing for Redeemer Church of Dubai. When we planted various churches in the U.S., including the Evangelical Christian Church of Dubai, helped fund us. They were patrons of us and for us in many ways. And many churches continue today. And the same for Emmanuel Church of Fujairah. Pastor Jesse prayed for and thanked God for a number of churches. Churches like Mount Vernon Baptist and High Point and Millwood and others that have contributed to the sustainment of Emmanuel Church of Fujairah. We praise God. We couldn't do what we do without them. It's amazing how it takes all of the church here and throughout the world to sustain ministry. Emmanuel Church, you as members, you have been generous. Those of you who give generously into the offering to God, praise God. Praise God that through your generosity, we can thank God for how he has sustained this church. It takes the whole church, every one of us, giving out of our worldly treasure to build what moths and rust cannot destroy. But Paul keeps going. He lists 26 people in total. Verses 3 and 4, he lists the next two. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. The scriptures often mention Paul's fellow workers, Prisca and Aquila. Paul was not a lone ranger church planter. These two not only served alongside Paul, but he says in verse 4, they risked their necks for Paul's life. They intentionally put themselves in harm's way for the sake of the gospel. Paul suffered, but so did others. These two boldly proclaim Christ, these evangelists. Now, Emmanuel Church, don't be afraid. I love the command that Jesus gives often in the gospels. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Follow the example here of Paul and of Prisca and Aquila and share your faith here on the eastern coast. Be bold in your workplace, in your neighborhoods, with your friends, co-workers. These Christians here put themselves in harm's way for the sake of the gospel because it takes the whole church, not just one person doing evangelism, but all of us in our spheres of influence. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Verse 5, Paul continues, greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. We mentioned hospitality. We prayed for hospitality in our prayer of petition, our pastoral prayer today. We see that the church is in the house of these church members. And then we see Epaphras, the first convert to Christ in Asia. And Paul using that just beautiful language of my beloved Epaphras. You see throughout chapter 16 just this affection that Paul had for the people at Rome. How sweet to see the gospel spread. Here, Paul greets the first convert in Asia. Verse 6, greet Mary, who's worked hard for you. Then notice in verse 7, others have suffered alongside Paul. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. These believers who came to faith before Paul, they've been in prison. They were willing to lose everything for the sake of Christ. Now, church, is this your posture? Are you willing? Are you willing, like Andronicus and Junia, to suffer for the cause of the gospel? If you follow Christ faithfully, at some point, you will suffer. It will come. But friends, a reminder here and throughout Scripture is that the gift of God himself is better than anything this world has to offer us. No matter what happens to us, God will never leave us or forsake us. That's seen in the Great Commission in Jesus' last words there in Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission, that's our mission statement at Redeemer Church, is to make disciples of all nations. But what I love about the Great Commission, certainly there's that charge to go and to make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them, teaching them to obey. I love that statement, but the most comforting part of the Great Commission is Jesus' promise as we go about the mission. He says to us all that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. That as we go about proclaiming Christ, just like Paul did, just like Prisca and Aquila did, just like those who were in prison did, Jesus has a promise for us as Christians, no matter where we are, whether it's in Fujairah, whether it's in our home countries, whether it's in the east or to the west, whether it's in our jobs or in our neighborhoods, as we proclaim Christ, as we serve him in the Great Commission, Jesus will be with us, not just some of the time, not part of the time, not just when we're nervous, not just when we're feeling well, but always, always now and to the end of the age. When God is for us, Emmanuel Church, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Emmanuel Church, serve him boldly. He is with you. Well, verses 8 through 12, more names. I'm going to read them all. I've been practicing, so here we go. Verse 8, greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apollos, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Again, there are many ways that Paul describes these individuals. They are beloved to him. Fellow workers. Those who are approved in Christ. Those who've worked hard for the Lord and his kinsmen. It takes the whole church. A couple of names to point out. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Many scholars think that these were twin sisters serving together. Their names mean delicate and dainty. But you see how Paul describes the two of them here in our chapter. He describes them as workers in the Lord. Well, friends, God can use anyone. And in fact, he uses everyone. We come to verse 13, which I absolutely love. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Rufus was chosen in the Lord. A little reminder, if you read Romans, back to the beginning of Paul's letter, where he teaches on the doctrine of election, the doctrine of God choosing, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, that we have no power in ourselves to save ourselves apart from God's choosing grace, that God chooses us and God saves us and draws us near to him. It's 100% the work of God. Now, Rufus might be the son of Simon of Cyrene, who we see in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, carry Jesus' cross. Well, Paul greets Rufus. But I love this. He also greets Rufus's mom. And these words make me smile. She has been a mother to me as well. Friends, it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Even moms, especially moms, and those who've served as moms to others. So women, whether you're a mom or not, whether you're young or older, you have an opportunity to mother or to shepherd and care for others, which directly correlates to the making of disciples of all nations. Now, during my 15 years of pastoring at Redeemer, many women, many older women in the church have been like mothers to me. They have constantly prayed for me, encouraged me, told me to keep on going during seasons when I felt like quitting and didn't feel like I had any more to give. Rufus's mom, she was also Paul's mother, and she made a difference. She made a difference in the Apostle Paul's life. Now, we know the Apostle Paul is perhaps the greatest church planter in all of history. And here in Romans 16, he thanks Rufus's mom for having an impact on his life. She impacted the spread of the gospel. Friends, don't underestimate your impact on making disciples of all nations. God can and will use all of us. I love the book of Nehemiah, and I love the list of names that we read earlier. I hope as we read through those names, you notice all the different things that everyone did. And they all had a very specific role. Almost seemed a bit odd at times. Very, very, very specific. Fixing this part of the gate or wall. But it took all of them. Everyone had an important part to play, and if anyone failed to do their part, that wall would not be complete. God can and will use all of us. One more names, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brothers who are with them. I've often wondered if Paul left those brothers' names out because they were even more difficult to pronounce. I don't know. But then we see verse 15, greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Interestingly, many of these names in those two verses that I just read are unfamiliar to us. Maybe you've never heard them before. They're not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. However, about half of the names are common slave names. Many of these were not wealthy, prominent members of society. For Paul to know of them while never visiting meant it was possible that, and maybe even probable, that they were some of the church's leaders. Slaves, not the wealthy, but the poor. This church was crossing socioeconomic lines. There's also a mix of men and women. 9 women are listed in this chapter. This is the fourth time in Paul's writings we see Prisca and Aquila mentioned. We don't know why her name is always listed first, but again, Paul valued women. Paul lists here in Romans 16 singles, married couples, widows, slaves, social elites, new Christians, mature believers, Greeks, Romans, Jews, some he met in prison, others in the synagogues or in the marketplace, and others at church. This was a diverse church in Rome. But they were unified. They may be diverse, but they were unified in the gospel. The Christians understood that because God had welcomed them into his family, that they were to welcome others into God's family. 4 times Paul mentions his friends in this chapter as being in Christ. 5 times he says they are in the Lord. He uses this family language and terms of endearment. God was bringing this diverse people together. All of them had one thing in common, and that was that they were in Christ Jesus. Another reminder that it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Emmanuel Church, your church, this church, God's church here in Fujairah is God's work. God has been breaking down the dividing walls of hostility to bring you together. This is incredible. No one could do this but God. This is why it's stunning when people visit our churches, perhaps here at Emmanuel or at Redeemer or at many of our other sister churches throughout the UAE. They come, and oftentimes what they'll tell us after the service is that it felt like a little taste of heaven. Gathering together. Because as we look around this room, we see various nationalities gathering together. And what would bring us together? Well, only Christ. Only Christ would bring us together. Unity in our diversity, different, but all together. Emmanuel Church, fight for unity. Strive for peace. Love one another regardless of your background. Pursue others the world wouldn't pursue. And may the world know your love for Jesus by your love for one another. Let's love so much that verse 16 would be true. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, before you get up and start kissing each other, let me talk about this for just a minute. You might not know this. But I can't shake hands, and so after the service, I won't be by the door shaking hands. I've never been a pastor who, at the end of the service, can shake everyone's hand on the way out or greet you in that way. I have a nerve disorder in both of my arms, really over the last 20 years or so. Began in my right arm, it included my left arm a couple years later, and I'm partially disabled. I can't lift much, I can't drive and do most normal everyday things. I'd love to greet you. I just can't shake hands. Well, one Sunday long ago during one of my sermons at Redeemer, I said that while I can't shake hands, I can kiss. So you can call me the kissing pastor. Now, my wife Gloria didn't think I should be known as the kissing pastor and said that was a bad idea. So I never repeated that again. But I do say that I'm the hugging pastor. I love giving out hugs, so chances are if after the service you try to shake my hand, I may offer you a hug instead. Now, my hugging history goes back about 25 years. There's a funny story about my first interaction with Pastor John Piper. Now, some of you have heard of Pastor John's ministry, maybe through his books. I think I saw one or two out on the book table as I walked in. I think maybe I saw Don't Waste Your Life. I can't remember exactly what I saw. Maybe you've been on the Desiring God website. Maybe you went to the conference that happened in January when Pastor John and others visited and taught on the Puritans. Well, my first interaction with Pastor John was before Gloria and I were in a relationship. But both of us were in attendance at a church in Texas, USA. Now, Pastor John had changed my life, and I had asked that night for someone to dare me to walk up to him. That was a big step to walk up to my hero. But I said, dare me to walk up to him unannounced and without saying hi and just to give him a big bear hug without any notice right after the sermon. Now, I don't know why I said that. I know it sounds a bit silly, but someone dared me. Someone double dog dared me. Now, kids, I know that you know what that means, right? If someone double dog dares you, you've got to do it. And so I had to do it. So as soon as Pastor John came down the steps from the pulpit, I walked across the front, and without a word, I gave him a big bear hug. And then just without saying anything, just turned around and walked away. That was my first meeting with Pastor John. Bizarre, right? Kind of crazy. Not really a normal human thing to do. But I guess that's why I'm known as the hugging pastor. I'm not sure that counts as a holy kiss, like what Paul is talking about here, but it was something. Now, I want you to see in this verse that it's a sweet verse. It's a sweet verse. It's not the only time we see this in Paul's writings. Even in 1 Peter, it ends with a similar command. Now, many of our cultures do greet one another from that culture with a kiss. Now, that's what I meant by calling me the kissing pastor, by the way. Well, Paul and Peter, they insist on this. Author John Stott explains the logic. Our verbal greeting needs to be confirmed by a visible and tangible gesture, although what form the kiss should take will vary according to the culture. Some of us, that's pretty normal. For others of us, it's quite foreign. But I think that's what Paul is getting at here. There's a familial affection among Christians. This familial affection, perhaps that's what a handshake is for some of you. Maybe for others it is a hug. Maybe it's a kiss. The point that Paul has here is that there should be love and affection between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. We're family, and happy families show affection. Well, Paul finishes the first list of names, and he gives the final charge. We'll come back to a few more names in just a minute. But he writes three things for the Roman church and for us today. Really, three charges in the next verses. So number one, verses 17 and 18, he says, be watchful. Be watchful, verses 17 and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught, and avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Emmanuel Church, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to biblical truth, heresy, and sinful activities. One author writes, Paul has no sympathy with theological sleepiness. Having a robust doctrine as a church is a loving thing. We don't dumb down doctrine in the church. We don't hide from challenging truths. We teach the whole scriptures for the whole church. Paul doesn't say to avoid doctrine here. He says to avoid heretics. This is why we put them out of the church, so they don't infect the rest of us. When you love like Paul, you protect the church by taking tough action. We guard the church. That's the job of all the church members and is often done through the active church discipline. Walking with God is a community project. So we need to recognize people causing division. To do that, we must labor in God's Word. Emmanuel Church, don't skimp on this. Don't cut corners in your personal Bible reading and study. Give it your best. Are you taking time regularly and even daily to study the Bible for yourself, by yourself? Certainly you want to do that with others as well. That's why you sit under God's Word here on Sunday mornings. That's why many of you gather together in Bible studies throughout the week, or maybe you gather in one-on-one discipleship as two of you sit across from each other and just read God's Word together and are accountable to one another and pray for each other. Certainly all of those things, we walk with God together, we read God's Word together, but we also do it by ourselves, for ourselves, so that we have something to give to others. But we study in God's Word and we pray through God's Word, so that we know God's Word, so that we know the truth, therefore can recognize false doctrine and heresy. Paul pleads with the Roman church here to be vigilant in knowing God's Word, to look out for false teaching. Church, you need to know your Bibles. Don't depart from the truth. Teens, tweens, kids who are here, learn God's Word. Listen to God's Word. And to all of us, avoid heretics. Stay away from the, separate from those who have departed from the faith. And don't try to appease the unappeasable. Don't try to convince them you can't win. No one's ever been argued into the kingdom of God. They're not serving the Lord, but their own appetites, Paul says. This literally means they were serving their own bellies. It's a way of speaking about serving yourself. It's a self-centered service, only thinking about themselves. They would use smooth talk to try and hide the intent of their hearts. Don't be part of the problem. It could be doctrine. Doctrine could divide, as I mentioned. It could also be by sinful living. Licentious living could lead to division in the church. How you walk with God doesn't just affect you, but it affects everyone around you. Do you see what I mean? Your walk with God affects everyone around you. Your sin and licentious living doesn't just affect you. It affects your family, affects your fellow church members. It affects the corporate witness of Emmanuel Church of Fujairah. A licentious life could lead to division in the church. It could be slander. Nothing divides a church faster than gossip and slander. So friends, be slander stoppers in this church. Stop slander. Don't listen to it. If someone has something to say about someone else, stop the conversation. Encourage them to go talk to that person. Nothing would make your pastors more happy than if you would stop slander as you encounter it and you would direct those individuals to go talk to that person face to face, to run to that tension, to deal with it. If we did this as Christians, if we spoke directly to one another, many of our problems in our churches would cease to exist. Let's be watchful. Number two, Paul gives a second charge in verse 19, be discerning. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Paul wants us to be experts in what is good and innocent or terrible at being evil. Paul says, be discerning, be wise. Stop listening to bad preaching. Church, stop listening to bad stuff. Don't listen or watch the awful things you might find on TV or on the internet. There used to be a channel out here called God TV. I don't know if that still exists, but there's so much bad preaching and teaching on the TV and specifically on the internet. There are YouTube videos all over the place claiming to teach the Bible that are simply terrible. Church, thousands of YouTube views doesn't equate to sound Bible teaching. Big ministry doesn't equate to faithful ministry. Not all preachers are preaching the truth. Now hear me say this. Not all preachers are Christians. I'm not sure if that shocks you or not, but it's true. Someone could be preaching in the name of Jesus, all the while making a mockery of Jesus by their false teaching or their false living. Don't watch random YouTube videos. Don't send money to preachers in exchange for prayer. Like, this is commonly done. Some of us might laugh about it, but I know there's people over the years in our church in Dubai that have paid people over the internet to pray for them. Now, I can guarantee you something without even knowing everything about this church. I can guarantee you that the pastors at Emmanuel Church will pray for you for free. That your fellow members Because pastors don't have to pray for you. Fellow members, we all have the same access to God. Right? Pastors aren't super Christians. Pastors don't have some secret access to God to get you to God more than any other Christian. We all have direct access to the Father through the Son by the power of the Spirit. So Pastor Jesse, Pastor Ben, and any member of this church will never ask you for money in exchange for prayer. So look for good resources online. Talk to your fellow members. Talk to your elders. You can look at sites like Desiring God or Nine Marks, the Gospel Coalition, Grace to You, Ligonier, Radical. There are good resources online. Read and listen to them. Number 3, verse 20, be hopeful. There's a third charge by Paul at the end, the letter to the Romans. Be hopeful, verse 20. The God of peace... There's lots of hope in these next words here. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Friends, the end is coming. The end is coming. Satan will be defeated. Now, he already has been defeated, but he's still out there wreaking havoc for the time being. He hasn't conceded defeat. He hasn't been fully put away with, but there is no doubt as to the outcome. Now, this may be an allusion here to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that first mention of the gospel where we read that Satan will be crushed. Oh, friend, the end is coming because Christ has already come. Jesus died for sinners and he rose from the dead. Now, that's the gospel, is that God is holy. We have sinned against him, but Jesus has already come. And on the third day, he conquered death and he rose from the dead, proving that everything he said, everything he did was true. We needed him. And he came, he conquered sin, so that you and I could be reconciled to God. Now, friends, if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Christ, maybe this is the first time you've been here, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, maybe you've been coming for quite some time, but haven't yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, I urge you to do it today. There's no better day than today, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. If you do follow Christ, do not fear. Do not fear tomorrow. Friends, notice that Paul writes that this will happen soon. We are in the last days. We don't know how long, but this is the next big thing to happen. Jesus will return. And so friends struggling with depression, know that Jesus is coming. To you who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus is coming. To the sick, to the ones in pain, Jesus is coming. If you've been diagnosed with cancer or some other illness, you're going through some health trial, Jesus is coming. If you're mourning the death of a loved one, Jesus is coming. If you're in a broken relationship, Jesus is coming. If you're suffocating in financial debt, Jesus is coming. If you're lonely or heartbroken, Jesus is coming. Whether you're young or old, Jesus is coming. Whether you're African, Asian, Australian, or American, Jesus is coming. Rich or poor, Jesus is coming. If you were up last night at 3 a.m. in despair, know that Jesus is coming. If you're anxious, you can't shake the worry that is in your heart, Jesus is coming. If your family and friends are persecuting you for your faith in Christ, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. If you think you have nothing to live for, friend, I've been there even as a pastor, and I want to say to you today, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and he will make all wrong things right. Jesus is coming, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes when we see our triune God face to face for all eternity. We will glory in our Redeemer. The present may be rocky, but the future is sure. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Jesus is coming. Emmanuel Church, be hopeful. Until then, as Pastor John Piper sums up the Christian faith, we are those who are sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. Always. Not some of the time, not on certain days, not part of the time, not often, but always. There may be sorrow in our lives, but because Jesus is in our lives, we are always rejoicing. Well, now Paul comes back to some more names. We don't want to miss these. Before, it was Paul greeting people. And now there are some people with Paul in Corinth who were with Paul when he was writing this letter, and probably was a bit of a funny scene as Paul was concluding the letter with one man saying, "Paul, say hi to me, please. Say hi for me, please, to the Romans. The next man, say hi for me. Others, me too, and me. And Paul, don't forget to include me." Well, verse 21, Timothy and his friends greet the Romans. Timothy was a dear friend, traveling partner, ministry partner, who was there with Paul. Verse 22, "I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord." Now, Tertius transcribed the letter. He was an amanuensis, or a scribe. Paul spoke the letter. Paul was inspired by God, and Paul spoke the letter. But Tertius wrote it down. Verse 23, Gaius, the church host, Erastus, the treasurer, and Quartus greet the Romans. Again, Paul was all about team ministry. This is Paul's men. This is Paul's team where he was. And again, it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. And then Paul ends with the benediction. Look at verses 25 through 27. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." I love that we sang "All Glory Be to Christ." That's basically how Paul ends his letter to the Romans. All glory be to God. Because verse 25, God is powerful. God strengthens us. The gospel has gone out and is the basis for strengthening us. It's good news, not just for non-believers, but also for Christians. And then verse 16, or verse 26, sorry. "Many have been saved among the nations." A reminder that anyone, anywhere, can believe the gospel. Again, friends, if you don't know Jesus, you can follow him today. No one is excluded from coming to Christ. For Jesus died and rose from the dead so that all could come to him by faith. All means all, everyone from every place. And then Paul concludes the letter giving glory to God, verse 27, through Jesus Christ, and then ends by saying amen, which means truth. Truly, this is truth. Manual Church of Fujera, it takes the whole church, every one of you, it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. So friends, jump in, be involved. Share the gospel outside the church to non-believers. Serve one another within the church. Care for each other. Be hospitable. Meet with one another for each other's spiritual good. Help serve. Help set up. Help tear down. Meet with one another for encouragement. And I could go on and on and on, because it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you, and to use you in incredible ways here on the east coast of the UAE. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank you for Emmanuel Church of Fujera. Oh, Father, we thank you for those who live here, for those that live in Corfu Khan or Kelba and the surrounding areas. May the believers in this region grow in strength. May the church be a corporate display of your glory to Fujera and beyond. Would they be unified, all serving you together as one body, and would their love for you and for each other be known by all. Would they find favor with the rulers and authorities? Father, would many come to know Christ in this emirate and beyond? Well, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.